I'm allowing
Hello.
You.
Hi, everybody. Hi.
Hello.
This is Michelle.
Except.
Hi. So who's on? Who's here?
I'm calling.
We get some bad feedback from somebody's phone on this line. All right, let's try and figure out who it is. If you want to just say hi, whoever's on the call, and you know, just to say hi in your name, and then we can get started.
Hi, Abigail Murphy.
Hi, Abigail. How are you?
Good.
Hi, Lynn.
Damon. Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
It's Colleen.
Oh, Colleen, you sound terrible. Say that again.
Colleen.
Okay. I think you have a bad line. Maybe you want to call back in? Don't you're very hard to, unless it's just me. Can anybody else understand her?
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
Hello, this is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, this is Dexter Davidson.
Who's this?
Dexter Davidson, yes.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good.
Good.
Hi, this is Damon Janus.
Sorry, I missed your name.
Damon Janus.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Hi, it's Michael Richin.
Michael?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
All right. Is that everybody? Still early. We have a couple minutes into the call. I'm sure more people will be popping on soon. I'll just do one last check. Anybody else just pop on? Want to say hi?
Hi, Michelle. It's Katya.
Hey, Katya. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. So, again, it's early. So if people pop in, you know, we'll bring them all in too. Also, just a reminder that the call is recorded. So that you can go back and listen to, you know, to the calls. Take notes sometimes if somebody says something great, like jot down the time so you know which time of which call to go back to. I know if you guys stick with DARE and you want to come on some of the DARE Advanced calls, I know some people keep a list of like the calls they like the best in certain parts. So, just to mention that as well. some housekeeping things I just want to mention first. This is our last call. Week goes quick on the DARE Challenge week. We do a boot camp also that goes pretty fast also. It's that's a 10-day program, but this is 7 days, so even faster. After this group is over, because these are usually the questions I get at the end of these calls and will be posted on Facebook, will I still have access to everything? Yes, you will have access to all of the recordings, the audios, all the links that you're sent. I always say to just download them anyway, because, you know, you never know. But you will have access to them. That doesn't get turned off at the end of this week. However, the Facebook group will stay open for about a week or two after any of these challenge weeks or the boot camp week. And then our hope is that everybody moves on to the DARE Advanced group. DARE Advanced is a group where, because we were having challenges and boot camps and different versions of these programs over so many years. And unfortunately, when we kept them separate, nobody got to interact with each other and get, like, you know, really great feedback from people that maybe were in the month before. So DARE Advanced is kind of like a maintenance program where instead of two phone calls in a week and messages every day sent to your phone, it's three phone calls a month. Two are with me and one is with Barry. So it's kind of cool to be able to talk to him. His calls are usually on a Saturday afternoon Eastern time. My two calls are usually on Thursdays. One call we usually have at 1 p.m. Eastern time and the other call we usually have at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, both on Thursdays. Every once in a while those days change, but for the most part that's the schedule. Suzanne posts. She keeps up with the Facebook group there as well. Same thing, the calls are recorded, so you can go back and listen to the archives. She usually posts on Facebook, like the challenges for the week instead of the challenges for the day. So it's more like maintenance, and it's And it's nice because if you already are getting momentum and things are kind of starting to click, but obviously this is not all going to wave a magic wand in 7 days. But it's nice to have, it's kind of like a little family. You know, you get to know each other. You see people fly across the world to meet each other that they've only known through Dare. It's wild. So just to let you know that's another program that's out there after this if you're looking for more support. It's, I believe, $24.99 a month, which, I don't know, that's pretty cheap to me. I'm not pushing it or anything, but I do tell people, I said, well, for 1 or 2 months, if you've already, like, kind of, things are starting to click, try it. You know, go for it. Even if you just do it for a month or two. And if you change your mind and you don't want to, and you can always come back, you can always send me a message as well if you have any questions. It's hard to reach me through Facebook Messenger because if we're not friends, it goes into that weird purgatory inbox where I don't see it for 4 months. So if you ever want to reach me, you can always email me at michellekavanaughcoaching@gmail.com. So it's Michelle with two L's, MichelleCavanaugh coaching@gmail.com. And there's also the Dare 101 Facebook page that's always open to anybody that's part of the program. That's free. There's no payments or a subscription or anything for that. There's the apps. There's emails that Barry sends out. So, you know, don't lose us. Stay connected because it's a nice place to come for support. I also offer one-to-one calls, as does Suzanne. You can always book a call with us through the website. You can email me and book a call. I'm not going to tell you anything different on a one-to-one call than I would on a group call, but some people like it, you know, more personalized and particular to their situations and things that, you know, related specifically to them. So those are the other things that we have available after this closes down. Anybody have any questions about that?
Nope.
No? Okay. All right, good. So just a couple of things I want to mention just from things that people have asked and that have popped up on the Facebook page that I'll just address kind of briefly, but some of my oldies know I don't do anything briefly. I'll try. I'm trying. Maybe getting a little bit better, maybe. And then I'm just going to open up the call. So if you guys want to just share back and forth with each other. You can ask me questions, ask each other questions. You don't have to wait for me to call on anybody. I just wanted to mention a few things. Just I know like derealization, depersonalization has come up, intrusive thoughts, how to kind of basically maintain good habits, like how to make this an unconscious sort of thing. Those are the three things that really popped up. Is there anything else specifically anybody wants me to hit before we open the call? Because those are the three main things I saw. Okay. Well, obviously, if it pops up, just let me know. Nobody's on mute at all, so feel free to jump in. But I know there's been one or two people that posted about derealization, depersonalization. And is it the same approach? And yes, it is the same approach. I don't know if anybody on the call experienced that at all, or maybe a version of it, or maybe
yes.
Not even know what it is.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah. That one sucks, right? Nobody likes that one.
It's the worst.
Yeah, that's what people say. I think people say it's the worst because you feel the most out of control. And for some people, it's like, well, this, I must really be going crazy. This maybe is what happens to crazy people, right? Like before we really step over the line. Is that about right?
Yeah. I mean, before I found this group and learned like that other people have this too, I thought that was it. I'm nuts. And very glad to find out that is not the case.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually far the opposite of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of this disconnected feeling, either disconnected from yourself, disconnected from the environment. I can ask, I don't know how many people have been on my calls over 10 years, but I could ask 1,000 people and 1,000 people will describe it in a different but same sort of way and tell me if I'm on the mark. Like, it's really hard to explain. It's kind of like, don't know how to describe it. It's hard to put into words, right? That's usually how it would start. Just sort of like not sort of connected, but I am, but there's like, you know, not, it's not that it's not reality. I'm there, but I'm not there, kind of in a bubble, like out in left field. I'm like in a haze. Things are sort of fuzzy in my brain. I don't know. Is this about on track?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So, again, it's just being so tuned into that feeling. And sometimes we get so tuned into fighting. Whoever's calling in from either Vermont or Ireland, I think, might be getting some feedback on your calls. Just to give you a heads up. That's better. Because we're so tuned in and we're so aware. If we're focusing just on us, all lights are turned on to us. So it's a feeling we don't like. And again, we attach this feeling of discomfort with a terrible worst case scenario. Oh, I feel kind of like disconnected from the world. What if I'm going crazy? I don't want to go crazy. Let's fight that idea. And that's kind of how it goes. And the more we have that feeling and our response is like, I'm just seeing who's turning blue. Vermont and Ireland again. Anybody calling in from Vermont or Ireland? Well, I'm sorry. I keep a computer screen up and I can just see like the bare basics of like where people are calling in from. And if it turns blue, that means there's noise coming from that line. So if you could just mute yourself or maybe call in from a different line, it might be a bad connection. So that does seem to seem better. So it's the same response. Diffuse, allow, run towards, engage. Whatever it is that everybody on this call is fighting, it's learning how to just not fight. And I know this question has come up a lot. Do nothing. What do you mean do nothing? Do nothing doesn't mean literally do nothing with your life. It means doing nothing about not liking how you feel. Like diffuse, allow, run towards, engage. It's learning how to let go, not fight, not control, not change, not feel better. Nod and the shrug means, okay, that's how I'm feeling, and then engage. I put a separate post of all of this on last night when I got home. It's like I'm acknowledging that this thing is here, X, whatever X is for everybody, and it gets a nod, and my response is a shrug, really, and then I'm going to live my life. I'm going back out, and I'm going out with friends, not to constantly distract myself by doing, so I drone out to what's going on in my head. I can do whatever I want. I can sit and watch TV. So right now, I mean, this is like day, what, 6? So don't expect to be the masters, but like I'm practicing sitting with discomfort, not just sitting for the sake of I have to sit and do nothing because I'm uncomfortable, but I can choose to sit down here for 10 minutes and watch TV and just not fight myself. So I hope that clarifies things. Same thing with derealization and depersonalization. I don't have to like this feeling. And years ago, we had somebody come on a group call, and it ended up being a great call. It was really funny. Somebody was really stuck in this derealization sensation. And it's funny because other people on the calls might respond, oh, yeah, I've had that feeling before too, but who cares? I don't care about that. But heart palpitation, that's the problem. So this woman was on the call, and she was really stuck on telling me, like, but this is why I hate it so much. But it just feels so awful, Michelle. And let me tell you for 10 minutes how awful it feels in very descriptive detail. Like, so you're basically telling me all the reasons why you're still fighting this and why you feel the need to get rid of it, which, again, makes normal logical sense, but anxiety is in the fight of those things. So I said to her, I said, you do know that sometimes, you know, I'm like, people do things for that, to elicit that same feeling, that weird, detached, out of control sort of feeling. I'm like, that's why people use drugs. Like, I'm not telling you to use drugs. And she goes, and she just stopped and she said, who the hell would do that? And people who just want to experience that feeling, you are experiencing that feeling and fighting it as if it's danger. So now you are experiencing it with a rush of adrenaline to fight for your life. So it ended up being a funny call. I'm obviously not telling people, oh, Michelle from New York said, use drugs to have these feelings. But it just shows that there are people that feel those sensations that don't fight against them, so they don't label it with anxiety. It's just this feeling of being detached, or however you would like to describe it. So oh, that's much better. I had to, somebody calling in from Vermont, I had to place you on mute. So if you'd like to speak on the call, just call back in, and then it should be open line again. But does that sound better, everybody?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's better.
Yes.
So somebody on the call said, hey, so we were talking about run towards, and this guy came on. He's like, hey, just think of it as a free high, in like a funny sort of way, you know, like, whoa, I'm having all these thoughts and sensations, and I'm just going to sit here, and I'm just going to feel them, and I'm going to nod at them, and yes, I feel X, Y, and Z, and I can feel them. I guess if the sensations get stronger, then they get stronger, right? Diffuse, allow, run towards, and then engage of whatever it was you were doing anyway. So I'm going to keep sitting here and just watching TV, or I'm going to keep driving to work, or I'm going to keep, you know, going out and about without trying to eliminate that discomfort or feel better. That's your practice with DARE. As a byproduct of allowing these sensations, sometimes they'll come, sometimes they won't, but after, you know, the work of doing nothing in response to them, your alarm will start to wind down. You won't notice those sensations as much, and you won't even feel as many until you really don't feel many at all. And when you do, it'll be a different sort of response to them.
Does that
make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense, but I'm wondering, like, sometimes if I'm feeling really anxious, I might want to, say, go get a massage or something. Is that like tuning in too much to the feeling and doing something, like fighting against it, even though, like, it helps, you know, me settle down a little bit? Or maybe just going and laying down for a little while. I'm just wondering, like, is that maybe it's not really clear in my mind what you were explaining, but yeah.
You're saying, like, is that kind of like a subtle version of resistance if you're trying to do something to feel better? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, like I'm wondering that. Like, if I go get a massage in order to feel better, am I acknowledging the anxiety in a way that I'm fighting against it? Or is that, would that not be the case? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good question. And, like, people will ask me all different questions, like, what about meditation and you know, all the other things that people do and exercise. And I generally say it's not even so much a matter of what you do, but why you're doing it. You know, so if you're doing it just for the sake of feeling good, sure. But if you're trying to do it to get rid of this anxiety and when the massage is over, I'm going to check back in. And if it's not gone, then I'm going to go lay down and I'm going to do something about it and try and be calm. Diffusing is not to diffuse the actual sensations. It's diffusing the fight of the sensations. So I could use a massage right now. You know, go get a massage for the sake of getting a massage, for the sake of, you know, loosening up your muscle tension. You can still practice DARE while you're doing those things. But if you find yourself being reactive in anything, whatever you choose to do, I have people that, like, oh, I'm feeling anxious, I better go meditate. Almost like a reactive approach. Like, now that's a weapon. So DARE is not to be used as a weapon. Do you know? It's like a tool to learn how to let go. So it's not so that you guys should never go and seek comfort. You should go ahead, try and be as comfortable as possible. We just get stuck when we fight discomfort as if it's danger, you know? So pay attention. Like, say, yeah, I'll go lay down, but you know what? For 5 minutes, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to run towards it, or I'm going to, like, diffuse is diffusing the fight of the sensation, not trying to diffuse the sensation, which I think a lot of people get stuck on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that helps. It distinguishes between, like, why you're doing it. If you're doing it to fight against it, that wouldn't be ideal or healthy. But if you're doing it to just kind of take care of yourself, that's fine.
Right.
That's essentially what you're saying.
Exactly. Like, exercise is great, but if I have, every time somebody feels anxious at home by themselves, they run to the gym for 14 hours so that they're not home by themselves. I mean, exercise in itself is a good thing, but you're using it as a weapon to fight not feeling good, right? So
that,
it's like, yeah, so go exercise, go meditate. I tell people, like, do things that are good for you. Set them at certain parts of the day so that it becomes more of a routine. And building a routine is really good. I know sometimes people end up, either you're so locked into a routine or you have no routine, you know? And sometimes people, like, if you've stopped working because I had a panic attack, so I stopped working, but now I'm home and now I don't go out much, or I'm like the CEO of the company and I don't have to go out, you know, or I'm independently wealthy and I don't have to leave my house. That seems nice until it's not nice because if you don't have to leave your house, then you're not going to leave your house if it feels uncomfortable. So I have people like that are retired or like, you know, people that are, have just not much of a routine. Again, it's finding like that happy medium where I have time that I'm out and doing things and busy and like I have things to expect, things to look forward to. So I'm not just sitting idle and then as sensations pop up or thoughts pop up, I'm becoming reactive to them.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, sure. You're welcome.
Hi, Suzanne. Hi, Michelle. It's Con here. How are you?
Con. How are you?
Good, thank you. I'm sorry, guys. I joined a tad late.
Oh, that's okay. What did you hear? Did you hear all that?
Yeah, I heard a little bit of that. Yeah, like I said, I just put my earphones on now, or just joined the group now. But my thing is the realization, you know, feeling, you know, you're here, but you're not here, you know, and that's been a big thing of mine. Always quite kind of struggled with that. That was pretty deep for me as much as the panic attacks. But, and that's what I was wondering, you know, is the approach the same as far as that goes? And also, sorry, I'm sort of going a bit full on here, but, and also I just actually woke up. I was quite, I was working and I fell asleep and I just woke up. So I'm trying to get it all together. So it was the,
no,
it's
I think you asked something about like setting patterns, like how does it become automatic conscious, unconscious response, right? Was that you?
Yeah, well, it's the surrealism, the derealization, and also like, you know, when you're doing this, the subconscious, how does that come into play too? I mean, when you're doing this sort of technique, is it teaching your subconscious as well, or do you need to be doing more?
Right. Okay. Yeah, I remember that. So, of course, I hit derealization at 12:02, and you came on at like 12:22.
Oh, bummer. Sorry.
But the gist of it was really, it really is the same approach. That's just the thing that you don't like. And I said, and on the call, I think 75% of my screen lit up blue when I said, anybody else experience that feeling, even though we didn't really discuss it on the last call? And everybody said,
yeah,
pretty much, yes.
Okay.
So it's this disconnected feeling that like it feels like, oh, this is the one. This is the one that makes me feel like I'm going crazy, or this is the one I really feel out of control. You know, it's always like that's always generally the top offender. Nobody likes, people hate that one the most, which is why we fight that one the most, which is why there's the most anxiety related to that one, because there's a bigger fight there. So it's learning how to feel that feeling and kind of give it a nod and a shrug and say, yes, this is how I feel right now. And I'll just, you can always go back and listen to the recording too. It should be up in, the day
I
after.
Will.
But
yeah.
Like we had somebody come on the call and we were talking, they were saying how, you know, sometimes, you know, think of it as almost like a change in your consciousness where you're not going to get arrested for it. You're not going to get in trouble for it. You don't have to do drugs for it. It's kind of like, oh, I'm in this weird sort of spacey state, and I'm just going to ride this. Like, this is great. I don't have to pay for it. I'm not going to get in trouble for it. I can just sit here and just feel it. And again, that sounds funny. And again, it might go against people's values and belief systems of people that don't use drugs and not telling anybody to. But it's just a comparison to say there are people who do experience those feelings, but they don't label it as anxiety. They label it kind of as a good high, which is, again, probably maybe not what everybody wants to hear. And it's not about getting rid of the sensation. It's about getting rid of the fight of the sensation.
Mm-hmm.
Diffuse is to not diffuse derealization and bring my derealization down from an 8 to a 4. Diffuse means diffuse the fight of that derealization feeling. Mm-hmm. And as you stop fighting, your alarm starts winding down itself. I don't think I mentioned this on the last call, but it's like, so picture like a split screen of somebody, and some of you, my oldies may have heard this. Two people side by side next to each other with a big old dusty, dirty rug. Did I say this on the last call? I don't think I did.
No.
No.
No? Oh,
no.
Good. I like this one. Okay. So they're side by side, and they both have this nasty throw rug, a really old, dirty, hasn't been cleaned in like 10 years. And they both take this rug, and they shake it. They shake it a whole bunch of times, and then they stop. Okay? So now, both of these people, they're in these two separate rooms right next to each other, and the first guy basically does what we do, right? Oh, my gosh, there's dust, there's dirt, and oh, it smells disgusting. And let me tell you exactly how it smells. And there's cookie crumbs, and there's dog hair in here. I don't even have a dog. And there's food, and there's dirt, and there's mulch, and we flare our arms all around. Oh, I don't like this. It smells. I'm trying to get rid of it, right? So we move our arms around because, oh, get this out of my face. Oh, this dust. And we do a lot of doing, right? So the guy next to us, he shakes out the same rug with the same things, doesn't like the stuff that comes out of it as much as we don't like it, but he just stands there and does nothing. He allows himself to not like it, but he doesn't do anything about the dislike of it. And the dust settles itself down. See, on the other side, we're just keep moving and doing and controlling and all. I know Zare works, but what about this? Oh, should I add this to it? Oh, what else works besides Zare? What else can I add to this? And we're always kind of subtly looking for something else we can do to speed up this process and make it faster. You're kind of swishing your arms around again and stirring up the dust, right? So it's like, it's truly just when you feel something you don't like, if it is actual danger, if there is a bear coming towards you, and that fight or flight response kicks in, don't dare run. Run away and save your life or fight the bear. But if it feels like a bear, if it's a what if there is a bear, if it's the fight, if you're fighting how you're feeling, if you're fighting what you're thinking, then you're fighting ideas of danger, which will never end because we have really good brains and we'll always have ideas of things we don't like, but we can choose not to fight them anymore. So every once in a while, your alarm might ring, but it's learning how to just do nothing and the dust settles itself down. And the more quickly you can kind of master that act of, yep, my rug, somebody shook out my rug. Okay, well, I'm going to take all the stuff that I don't like and I'm just going to keep moving forward in my life. I'm just going to do whatever it was I was planning on doing before. I might not be doing it comfortably, but this is my practice of not fighting discomfort.
Mm.
So, Michelle, can I ask a question?
Sure.
This is Katya.
Hi.
So, something that I think me and probably other people struggle with is it's fine to, like, hear this when you're thinking completely rationally, right? And you get it. But then, let's say, like, I take my example when I was 1,600 miles away from home and I was giving this presentation and I started to experience depersonalization and I was scared out of my mind and I thought, oh my God, like I'm leaving my body. I feel it. I'm floating away. Like that was, it was so, it was the most intense one I've ever had. And are you capable? So, when I read about like, you know, having really high anxiety, it's that thing where you flip your lid, right? And you're using your lizard brain and you're not able to use your prefrontal cortex, which like is responsible for like higher level rational thinking, right? So I guess the question is like, are you always able to access that part? Cause I've I thought I'd read that, like, there's some times where you actually can't, so you have to, like, get back to that state, and then you would, like, remember your DARE tools. I don't know if this question makes sense, but if the answer is you are always capable of returning to your prefrontal cortex and, like, here's a strategy for what to say or do, like, I think I've heard Barry say when your anxiety is super high, start with, like, a simple phrase, like, I have all the tools I need to handle anything anxiety throws at me, or something like that, that, like, starts you kind of winding down and getting out of that, like, super high state. So, yeah, so I guess it would be good to know, like, yeah, you can always get there, even if you're in that very, very anxious state where you're not. And do you have, like, a suggestion for what to say?
Well, what did you do when you were 1,600 miles away and you had that happen? What did you do?
So I honestly, like, I just lived it out. Like, mm-hmm. I was in the middle of a presentation, and this is kind of why I'm, like, so curious about this whole process. So, like, people were asking me questions, like, very technical engineering questions, and I was answering them, but at the same time, I was freaking out so badly, right? And I don't think mm-hmm. anybody could tell, because nobody was like, oh my God, stop talking, are you okay, right? So I was probably talking a little bit faster than usual and a little more, like, animatedly than usual, but then, like, I couldn't make the feeling go away, and it didn't. It just stayed there. And then for probably, like, 20 minutes after this, I'm still very, very, like, hyped, and mm-hmm. I just, like, I honestly don't know what I did. I mean, basically, like, I did nothing, and it went away on its own, right? That's, like, the lesson here. but I, like, I guess I'm looking for, like, coaching, and it might help other people here. Like, is there something you can do to get out of it faster? Right. I know that's just wanting it to go away. but like, I feel like the fact that I was able to answer questions while it was happening was kind of evidence that yes, you actually can, like, access your prefrontal cortex, which to me is, like, hopeful, like, okay, well, then you can always, even when you're at your most anxious, like, you can always talk yourself down from it, I guess.
Right, but without talking yourself down from it. So you're saying kind of like two different things. Okay, I did nothing, but what can I do next time to make myself feel better more quickly?
Yeah, you know, I'd love to hear that.
Right. And I think as you're saying it out loud, you're hearing it, and then you're answering yourself. That's not, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just laughing at, like, I
okay,
feel like the light, like, no, it's been long enough, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, wait, yeah, okay, well, how do I feel? Okay, what else can I do to feel better faster? Okay. So, like, if you notice that, like, well, there's resistance, which is fine, which is whatever. Like, we're normal people. Like, yeah, I don't like to have that feeling. But I'm practicing not doing anything. So, like, how do I make the dust settle down faster?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Get a vacuum. Or what kind of vacuum? And suck it up. But what if I suck it and it blows around?
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, the guy next to you is just truly doing nothing. And the dust settles itself back down. Just try and keep that mindset. Like, I don't have to always make myself feel better. And it doesn't always have to be immediate. Like, your body mm-hmm. always just wants to bring it. Always wants to regulate itself. It only goes in a heightened state in response to something. So if you're fighting for 20 minutes, it's going to help you keep fighting for 20 minutes. If you're fighting for 20 years, it's just going to help you keep fighting for 20 years as much as it can, which is why people are usually like very exhausted every day, because, like, you're hanging on and surviving all day long until you finally go to sleep and you're like, ah, we made it through that day. Like, that's just, your body's going to stay up because you're kind of telling it to. So in those peak moments, and it's amazing what you can do. Anybody else on the call could relate, like, wow, I feel like there's a hurricane in my brain, but somehow, like, you know, I can split an atom and still have these feelings.
Yeah, sometimes when you're at a party and you suddenly get an anxiety attack, you're able to relate to the people around you. But inside, you're having an anxiety attack. It's like you split.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how it is. Like, you can feel, and again, because that's what shows it's kind of all smoke and mirrors. If it was real fire, you wouldn't still be saying, oh, well, let's talk about, like, the environmental, like, repercussions of this. Like, no, nah, fire. But because you're fighting how you're feeling, we tend to kind of, like, have two different conversations. Like, there's always two different things going on in our heads, right? It's like, oh, my gosh, hang on. Oh, this is awful. As, like, you're still, like, able to do your job or drive a car or do all these other things that we think we can't do because we don't like how we feel. It turns out we just don't have to fight when we don't like how we feel, you know? And it's learning how to let go. It's like finding that release button to let go of the fight of how we feel, not to hurry up and feel better. But we feel better the more we practice hitting that release button and not fighting it.
So when you're in a peak moment, you're fighting, correct? Mm-hmm. Just let go of the fight.
Either if you're in a peak moment, your alarm is ringing. So pay attention to how you're responding to it. If your alarm is ringing for whatever reason, right? So
yes.
If something did happen, like a big loud thing falls behind you and you jump, your body's heightened. You're in an excited state. Now you get to always choose your response to that. You cannot decide your initial reaction, but you can always choose your conscious response. So you could say, all right, am I hanging on for dear life? As I'm driving to exit 13 and I've only been to exit 10, like, am I physically hanging on? Or am I like loosey goosey? And I'm like, whatever. I'm like, okay, hang on. Okay, all right, you're right. What is this? And if you notice, the more you really start noticing, not necessarily what you're doing, but how you're doing it, how you're talking to yourself. You know, again, are you getting massages for 19 hours a day? Or are you like, yeah, I think I'm going to do that. Help me feel good. Like, what you're saying and why you're saying it. So in that peak moment, like, that's why we have little, like, bring it on used to be the thing. Like, go ahead, give me more. That's another version of run towards. I've been, like, nod and shrug. That's been my thing lately. And, Katya, you've heard, like, I've switched things, like, oh, well, so what? Who cares? WGAF was a big one for a while. Somebody actually gave me a shirt with that. Barry and I had been flown out to Australia. Somebody flew over to meet us from New Zealand and gave us these T-shirts. And in black T-shirt and in white writing, all it said was WGAF. And it stands for Who Gives a Fuck. And that was basically like, that's honestly what it comes down to. It's like, oh, there's this feeling I have. Blah, 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 blah. Like, I could describe it in such detail and what it feels like and how much I don't like it and it scares me and it reminds me of this and what if this. And it's honestly just giving it that response. And it was funny because we had somebody had done that was like a thing. People were like getting these T-shirts and somebody had worn it to work under their work clothes. He's like, it was like Superman. Like, and, you know, Clark Kent, he'd wear his, you know, his regular work clothes and then underneath it was the Superman logo. He's like, you know, here I am all dressed up at work, and underneath it, I know deep down I have this WGAF shirt on, and it just always reminded me of, like, this mindset of, like, yeah, you're right, I don't like how I feel. Nod and shrug. So sometimes people come up with little words that work for them. Those are just my suggestions, but, you know, find something that works for you. I had somebody, her thing was, she just started saying, silly brain. Silly brain. Oh, yeah, that is some idea. Silly brain. Well, that's not happening right now. And that was just her thing. And it helped, again, not feel better or speed up the process of feeling better, but speed up the process of letting go of fighting, like, more quickly.
Can I
do that with sensations, too?
Sorry?
You can do that with sensations, too.
With everything.
Right.
If your heart's racing,
okay,
it's already racing. You know, if you're lightheaded, you've already been lightheaded, right? So it's
right.
Either fight that and we put the magnifying glass on it so we can stare at it, or we just nod at it. Say, yes, that's right. I'm lightheaded. Yep.
Can I just ask a question that relates to that in terms of intrusive thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I find that I can do the diffuse and sort of shrug it off and tell my mind to F off sort of thing. But I then find it quite hard, like, if it's, like, quite persistent to sort of do the run towards bit, or like I think the other day I was talking to Suzanne in the group because one of the audios was to actually sit with it and invite your intrusive thoughts in and let them be there. But like mm-hmm. some of the more like horrible ones, obviously it's pretty difficult to do that. So I find,
right.
I don't know if like by avoiding doing the run towards, but even if I'm doing well sometimes on the diffuse and just telling it to do one for the day or whatever, if am I avoiding doing the run toward, is that as bad as like fighting it? Do you know what I mean?
Right. Right. And no, you will never like the content of whatever that thought is, because it's always yeah. awful, and it's always like awful times 10,000, right? It's like yeah. not just kind of awful. And we tend to be very visual thinkers. Like mm-hmm. you can probably almost see that action or that thought as if it's really happening, right? And have like a physical yeah. response to it. Anybody else can yeah. relate to that too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, And I like talking about intrusive thoughts too, in a very weird sort of way, because it just it bursts this bubble of this idea that they're nothing. They're basically mm-hmm. ideas of things you don't like. So I'm not saying you're gonna sit around for 20 hours a day and think about, like, you know, whatever it is, murdering people or sexual things or religion. Like, it almost tends to be something like real raw and like the opposite of what anybody would ever want to do. I mean, you're welcome mm-hmm. to mention whatever you want on the call, but like, it tends to be the gist of it. And they're called, here's my one psych term I'll ever put out there usually on these calls. It's called ego dystonic versus ego syntonic. Do you ever hear those thoughts, those terms?
No.
No.
So ego, having thoughts that are ego dystonic, dystonic, means they go against your brain. They are like the opposite of what you would want to do. Like, what if I kill myself? Oh, I don't want to kill myself. Oh, I better get rid of this thought so I don't kill myself. Oh, what if I lose control and I kill that person? Or violent sexual thoughts of something. Whatever it is. It yeah. tends to be thoughts that are ego dystonic. And because it goes against your grain, and your response is usually, oh, I don't want that to happen. I don't want to do that. Why would I think that if I wasn't capable of doing that? What makes me different than anybody else who would do that, right? We create this drama around yeah. this idea that you just had a thought you don't like. And because they're ego dystonic, like ego syntonic means like, oh yeah, I do want to go kill a village of children. Like, yeah, that sounds great. Like that's another problem. That's a whole different phone call.
Yeah.
And probably one that I won't be running anytime soon. These are all the same things. Ego dystonic. You're basically saying, like, you can give those thoughts absolutely a nod because your alarm's just pointing them out to you and saying, oh, what about that potential situation of a terrible thing? And you get to say, yeah, you're right. That does suck. Oh, yeah, you're right. That is scary. Oh, I would not want that to happen. Or I would not. Oh, you're right. You're right. I don't like that idea. Okay, anything else you want to show me, alarm? That's like another version of run towards. Anything else you want to show me that I wouldn't like? Yep, okay. Oh, yeah, that thing? Oh, that thing is really bad. But Suzanne mentioned something that I mentioned, too, on the calls, too. Like, you can always choose, and then what? Like, yeah, I can go, yeah, sure, I guess that could happen. And then you can always add something weird, like out of left field. And like, well, what if I do it with a third arm? You know, like something weird. That kind of like
yeah.
throws a wrench in like the system where you're like, oh gosh, and then this terrible thing could happen, and then what if I do this, and then we're crying, and then we're at the funeral, and then it's so sad, right? Now you could sit there bawling your eyes out. Nothing's happened, right? But you get so lost in these thoughts. So you get to kind of learning how to let go and be a little more playful. Not because you like the thoughts, but because you get to choose how you respond to your thoughts. So
okay.
run towards is kind of like, I've had even people like exaggerate things too as a way of like, okay, well, I can do it, but I can also do it with a party hat on, or I can do those things, but I can do them riding a horse. Or like, again, not that you will ever like the content of whatever those mm-hmm. thoughts are. And this is for anybody on the call. But it's all about not fighting the thoughts, not diffusing the thoughts, diffusing the fight of the thoughts. Does that
yeah.
make sense?
Okay.
Yeah,
definitely.
So, Michelle, Just many years ago when this first started with me, obviously we didn't have this particular technique or anything like that. And I'm talking quite a few years ago. Just with the unreality that used to happen with me. I mean, I had it when it first started. I had it for 5 years continuously, every day, all day, for 5 years. Was it the fact that I was fighting against it and was freaked out by it that it lasted that long? Because the only thing in the end that ever did work, well, that did work and gave me a little bit of hope, was no amount of psychiatric help or anything like that. It was acupuncture.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Really?
Yeah, dead set. And was it the fact that I was fighting it so much and so afraid of it that it was kept lingering around? I mean, I've had it for 5 years straight. It was quite distressing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've heard stories like that before, plenty of stories. I have people come on and say, I've had these intrusive thoughts for 30 years or 50 years or this feeling, these sensations. But then when you start to allow things to become irrelevant, they start to fade to the background. Doesn't mean sensations don't pop up here and there. But like when you just sort of kind of like watch them as like they're going down a river and you're like, oh, yep, I don't like that one. Oh, yep, don't like that one. But you just sort of let go and let it flow. Again, your alarm doesn't pay it any mind. Just like, yeah, that one sucked. Oh, that one's good. Oh, that one's really good. Oh, that one sucked again. Oh, three sucky ones in a row. And when you just practice letting go, they become less meaningful, even though you still might not like how you feel. Like, for example, I've been on vacation this past week. I just came home last night. So I brought you all with me to Buffalo in Canada. So took my girls and my sister-in-law and my cousin-in-law and their girls, and we all went to a Jonas Brothers concert. A lot of screaming, a lot of yelling, a lot of girls. And so within the stadium in Buffalo, that is really steep, like steep, narrow steps. And where we stood in front of our seats, and the seats, you know, like they flip up. So you push the seat down. So you have to take a step forward to put the seat down to sit on them. It was like just, if it was like just 2 inches wider, it would have felt better. But it was just so narrow and there was like no barrier. And I just, like, as soon as I walked up, I turned around and my body, like, I felt like I lost my balance. You know that feeling, right? When you feel like, like, yeah, you're about to fall. I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir here. And so we're in this tall seat. We are the fourth row from the top. I'm like, holy shit. Like, I'm holding on to the chair because my body felt like it was falling. So I just, and I remember looking down, I'm like, there's not even a barrier to catch me. I'm like, if I go now, the first thing I'm going to hit is a Jonas brother. Oh, man. So meanwhile, my sister-in-law is next to me. Her body is not doing that. She's looking at me. I'm kind of just like holding on to the back of the seat, not in survival mode, but like my body did feel like I was falling, and my immediate response was to hold the back of the seat. I would jump, and my response was to like grab the seat. And she looked at me. She's like, oh, she goes, this bothers you? This bothers you too? And I turn next to me, and there's my cousin, like, just sitting down. She's like, oh, I'm not getting up. I'm not getting up for 3 hours. And it was funny because she's like, this doesn't bother me. She goes, I'll go get snacks. And she skips down the steps and skips back up the steps. And I'm like, so that's some of us, some things bother us, some of us more than others. That affected my body. But not hers. Like, I didn't stop and think. I didn't have to do anything. Like, I turned around and I looked down and my body felt like that falling feeling, you know? It was just my reaction. Now, I might be able to do other things that bother my sister-in-law, but it's like I just had to be conscious to not fight those feelings, not to get rid of those feelings, and not to beat myself up that, oh, those feelings aren't gone and I'm daring and I'm still here and I still feel this, because that's still fight. I'm like, all right, well, whatever. I feel like I'm going to fall. I guess if I fall and I land on a Jonas brother, I mean, I guess that's good for me because I got such shitty seats. I guess I'll be able to meet one, you know? Like, again, making light of it, not to feel better, but to not fight how I was feeling. I might never like that stadium seating, but I don't, like, if this was 25 years ago, I could have fought that big time. I could have hung on for dear life and sat by the aisle and gone down and just waited outside and come up with an excuse not to go. And I just kind of shrugged. I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'll just feel a little off balance. But, like, again, when I kind of stopped fighting how I was feeling, it did sort of fade away. And I stood up when everybody else stood up, and I walked down the steps, obviously. I came home, right? You didn't see me on the news. There's still three Jonas brothers, so I didn't pull on anybody. But, like, it's kind of that approach where we all might have things that tend to ring our alarm more than other people. Going with that mindset of, like, not just acceptance, but expectance. Ah, I'm expecting to feel uncomfortable. My silly alarm gets a little screwy when it comes to these things. Oh, yep, that's right. My alarm loves to show me all these particular kinds of thoughts. But, yeah, you're right. We don't want those things to happen. But right now, I'm just having a thought I don't like. But right now, I'm just having a feeling I don't like. And it's with that mindset of doing nothing, not literally doing nothing for your life, but just doing nothing in response to the things we don't like. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
Michelle, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just wondering, I have, like, pretty much, I'm in 24/7 fight or flight. I just don't know how to apply there, you know, all of the hours of the day, basically.
Okay. So what are you feeling right now?
I suppose tingling, lump in throat, painful ears. That's majority of them. But that's
so
all the time.
You feel tingling
every day
in your body?
Yeah.
Where specifically?
Lump in my
throat. Pick a place?
And painful ears.
Okay.
Yeah.
And find me some tingling. Find me some, where is it? Your fingers, your legs, your body, your feet, where?
So it kind of moves around. It's in everywhere. It can
okay.
be anywhere.
Okay, where
really.
Is it right now? Go find one.
I suppose my legs.
Okay. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how's those leg tingles?
It's not as bad as, like, the ears and the throat. That would be the worst ones.
Okay. So let's do the leg tingles. Scale of 1 to 10. Let's see. Where are we?
Probably about 5. 5.
Okay. So, like, when we get more specific about actual sensations, whether you're fighting them or doing all these things to try and get rid of them, they're still there. So it's learning how to just sort of, mm-hmm. like, okay, well, what's there? Oh, that tingly feeling? Okay. All right, let's play around with it. Let's see if I can, just for the sake of making them stronger, like run towards, see if I can make them stronger. Mm-hmm. Let's see what I can do with them. So if you, and it's, again, it's not so a matter of how much of what you're doing, but why and how and why you're doing it. So if you are picturing these sensations as, like, ball and chain shackled to your legs, that you're kind of dragging them throughout the day, and kind of like, oh, hanging on, and oh, there's on my ears, and oh, am I ever going to get a moment of peace? Like, is that your mm-hmm. response to these sensations that you would think? I don't know.
Yeah,
but,
kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what that does, again, this is that really backwards little part, but this is a part we can work on. If every time we go, oh, there's that thing again, it just magnifies that part because our alarm thinks that's a bad thing that we need to get rid of. And it's funny because I think on mm-hmm. one of the DARE, one call, I think it was the DARE Advanced call recently. Oh, no, I think it was a one-to-one call I had. Somebody was talking about, like, their tightness in their neck. Well, what's up, this call? Like, very, I think it was this call, actually. Their very stiff neck and tight muscles. And as they're saying it, I'm like, oh, my neck is so tight and stiff, too. But that's just how my neck was. I just kind of, like, to me, I was almost indifferent to it and taking it around with me through the day. Doesn't mean it was any more comfortable, but it wasn't my focus. So, again, this seems weird and backwards. I promise you it works. I've had so many people come mm-hmm. on, and they're like, it's always the same. I just nonstop, from the second I wake up to the second I go to sleep, I'm in this constant heightened state. And I wake up with heart palpitations and my thoughts racing, and I all day long I'm trying to accept and allow, and I just feel like I'm constantly just barely hanging on, and I can barely get to the evening, and then I go to bed and I do it all over again. And it's like, then mm-hmm. if I could just get 5 minutes of peace, I would give my life savings for 5 minutes of peace. I don't know. Does that
yeah,
sound...
I've said that.
Yeah.
I've said that before, so, yeah.
So many, and I don't want anybody's life savings at all, not at all. But like, you are then desperately fighting that discomfort. So it's learning mm-hmm. how to like wake up and see it in a totally different way. Like how I, oops, here. Oh. Oh. Let me just see here. So kind of like I said, that little yippy dog that I wrote about last night, like it could bark mm-hmm. all it wants, but instead of you kind of running away from it and this yippy dog is chasing you and following you and you're like, oh my gosh, just shut the hell up already, enough, stop barking, right? If and I don't know if that's how you're responding to it, but mm-hmm. if you are, and anybody on the call, if that's how you notice you're responding to that, to your sensations or your thoughts, like, oh my gosh, enough already, just shut up, with your hands over your ears and running away from this dog that just keeps barking at you, like, that's the hunted. Go be the hunter. You know, be the, you get to take charge in what you do, not necessarily how you feel, but take that dog, put it on a leash and say, you know what? You can bark all you want, but I'm not going to pay attention to you 24/7 to do all these things and sign up for all these programs to get rid of you. It's learning how to get rid of the getting rid of. So I'm going to go and I'm going to live my life, and I kind of need you to bark a little louder. So legs, I'm going to need you to tingle a little bit more. So go ahead and tingle out of 7. Oh, my ears feel like this clogged feeling. All right. I get a new sensation. Sure. I mean, I have to put it out there too. Like, sure, if something odd or different pops up or something that's not going away, there's nothing wrong with getting checked out by a doctor. But if you're going for, you know, 10 checkups a week, you know, maybe it's like, okay, it's just discomfort, and it feels stronger when I pay attention to it. So I'm going to just go engage mm-hmm. in my life, and I'm going to do all these things with this tingly feeling. And I tell people, especially in the beginning, be specific about the sensations too, because it helps just sort of make it just a sensation you don't like. Trying to use those words too. I had somebody on one of the recent calls that, you know, they were saying like, I feel like I'm dying. No, that's not what you are actually feeling right now. That's what your interpretation of it is. Like, that's, you know, you're creating that idea, but like, what are you feeling? Oh, my heart rate is up. And sometimes it's easier to start there. Okay, well, my heart rate's up. What do I do? Fight it? And when I fight something, what happens? Your heart rate goes up faster to help fight. So it gets a nod and a shrug. Right now, your legs are tingly, and you have a feeling in your ears and a feeling in your stomach. Is that right? Throat?
My ears and my throat mostly.
Okay, so the more you kind of play around with those things, same thing as I just like described with the intrusive thoughts, even though it seems like two totally different things, that's kind of what the beauty of these group calls are. They seem like everybody's got all these different problems, but you really don't. We're just fighting ideas of problems and feelings of discomfort and the what-ifs of situations. So it's learning how to let go. And again, you want to give it some time. Time for, like, that dust to settle down. You know, my daughter, who's she's older now, but, like, a few years ago, she had a little cut on her finger. And she ran in here, and she's like, I got a cut. Tiny, like, nothing. Right? But, you know, we did the whole process. We washed it. We put some, you know, bacitracin on it. And, you know, we dried it. We put some medicine on it, put it in a Band-Aid. And she left. She comes back 5 minutes later with the Band-Aid in her hand. Like, what the hell? Like, we just did this whole procedure. Why'd you take the Band-Aid off? She's like, it's still there. Well, what's still there? She was my boo-boo. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, the heck is she talking about? And then I realized, okay, 2-year-old, this was a few years ago, like, in her mind, who was, if I do this and I do this and I do this and I put a Band-Aid on it, like magic, right? I'm going to take the Band-Aid off and it's gone, right? But take the Band-Aid off, she goes, but the cut's still there. And I use that sometimes on these calls because if we're kind of doing it with expectation of immediate comfort, it's the same thing. I just put a Band-Aid on the cut. I said to her, I'm like, Caitlin, we did everything we had to do. I said, there's nothing else to do. But my boo-boo's still there. I said, yeah, but now we've done what we need to do. Now your boo-boo takes care of itself. I said, your boo-boo will go away by itself. Just leave it alone. So it's that kind of approach, like, let go. It'll, like, you've done what you need to do. Now let your body, now when you kind of get out of your own way, you let your body sort of heal itself. And there's all little stories I have of examples and things like that. But that's the mindset you kind of want to take for this.
Like, now, can I ask you a question? If you have a sensation and you know, like, well, my chest is tight, I'm going to do deep breathing. Is that kind of running away from it or what?
Well, why are you breathing deeply, right?
To try to relax.
For the reason of? Okay, I'm not trying to be a pain in the butt. But, like, okay, if I have a feeling that I don't like, okay, am I breathing deeply to practice letting go of the fight of that feeling, or am I trying to get rid of that feeling?
Oh, I'm trying to get rid of that feeling, okay. And that's not okay.
And that's, it's all, and who knows, you might do it one way one time and another way another time, but it's knowing, like, oh, okay, well, I'm like, I've just accommodated my entire life about this thing I don't like. Again, if it's a real, like, if you just hit your finger with a hammer and that's discomfort, go take care of it. It hurts. That's like something that's actually happening. But if it's like, ooh, there's that, ooh, I feel this feeling in my chest and I don't want it to get worse because then I'll have a panic attack and I'm going out tonight and what if I have a panic attack and I need to be calm, nice calm waters, and let's not rock the boat and let's go meditate and stay in my calm state and, you know, like, just pay attention to how you're responding to yourself because only you will know, you know. I can just give bits of advice, but the advice I'm giving you is, like, pay attention to why you're doing it, you know.
Thank you.
And that kind of leads, sure, and that kind of leads me to the last thing I really wanted to mention, too. Basically, like, how long does it take, right? When does my subconscious get it? Like, when am I really just going to, when do I do it automatically and everything, I know, subtly what you're really saying is when does it all go away and I go back to my old self? So think of it more like you're relearning a new pattern. And I've had so many different group calls of, like, we do, like, little things on these calls, like little like challenges or examples of things about, like, how to relearn a pattern. And I've done a bunch over the years. But who eventually asked that? Khan, is that right?
Yeah,
that was you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was, yes.
Okay. So tell me, start reciting the alphabet to me.
Oh, okay. So, well, apparently we live 80% of our lives through our subconscious, apparently. So if you're having all these negative experiences all these years, and memories included, how does this technique retrain or reprogram that subconscious?
Okay. So everything seeps into our subconscious. The more you do something, the more it forms a habit, right? So if you could help me out with this little sort of game, if you can start reciting the alphabet to me, can you tell me even just the first few, start the alphabet?
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Very good. Very good. Good job.
Woo.
Now,
woohoo.
But now it's funny. Anybody who's ever taken that up on me has always started with A. Nobody starts telling me random letters of the alphabet, right? But, oh, there's an N and there's a T. Oh, honey, what else is in that alphabet? G? Say G. Put down a G. It's because it's programmed into us since we were kids, right? It puts to songs, everything is to that tune, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And elemental P is like one letter when up until you're like 3 years old, right? Elemental P is just one sound. Okay, now tell me the alphabet backwards.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Well, where would you start?
Oh, Z, sorry, yeah.
Okay, and then what?
Oh, you're making me think.
Uh-huh.
I'm confused already, sorry. X, Y, Z, Y, X.
Exactly, and I heard you go both ways there.
I did, yes.
In order to learn the new way, you kind of had to go back and do it the old way first, right? Until you kind of do like ZYX, 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 until ZYX becomes the new pattern. So if you really, and we're all different. We all learn things at different rates, at different speeds. So I would, and I tell people this a lot. If you're going to, if you want to learn about relearning new patterns, how long does it take? Find something else to relearn the same time you're doing this. Something that has nothing to do with anxiety, like the alphabet backwards or, you know, something else, because it, you will see yourself, wow, I'm better at kind of chunking it little bits at a time, or wow, I'm more like I'm more like alert, like if at 10 o'clock in the morning, I really do much better practice then. But you'll see the more you practice, the quicker you'll get it. Mm. And there's so many different like examples of this. Like, for example, when I go to church, they have changed the prayers at church. Like, they have been here for so many, 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 many years. And now it's just these subtle little changes, maybe within the last 8 or 10 years. And it's so subtle and it's so hard to remember. So if you find any good old Catholic and you say, peace be with you, what's the automatic response was always, anybody on the call could say, peace be with you. What would you say?
And also with you.
Also with you.
Yes. And also with you. It is automatic. You don't have to think about it. And if you're 75 and older, forget it. That will always be your response. Peace be with you, also with you. But now it's peace be with you, and now you're supposed to say what? Anybody know? Oh, somebody hasn't been to church. You're supposed to say, it's changed now. You don't say it also with you. You say, and with you in spirit.
Mm.
So for me to have learned that the first 30 years of my life, and now it's different, this was always my go-to on my group calls, like whenever, 8 years ago, when they made all these changes. Because obviously, I'm not talking about religion, but I'm talking about something that's kind of like programmed in you. So, like, the priests had to read it. They were getting messed up. Like, the old-timers at church, they had, like, handouts. And I would always come back on these group calls and report how church went that day. Not for church, but to see, like, who just kept picking up the words and just kept reading it to really practice. Some people took home those little handouts to take home so they could practice. Other people just said, forget that. I'm doing it also with you for the rest of my life. I'm not changing. But in order to change, like, you really kind of had it, you can consciously change your consciousness.
Mm.
You can't consciously change your subconscious. The more you consciously change what you do right now, eventually that starts to seep into the back of your head. So it's like learning any new pattern, like the alphabet backwards, like anything like that, like learning another language, a second language as an adult. Like, anybody learn a second language after you were a little bit older?
No.
No? Nobody on this call?
My second language was English.
Oh, okay. So then this is your second. So then as you were an adult, you learned English?
No, I was a kid, actually.
Okay. So I'll have people come on it, and when you're first learning a new language, like I could, at one point I could kind of get by in Spanish, not anymore. But like, and anybody who's listening to the recording, you will see, like, when you're learning a new language, you basically, like, you take your original language. Somebody says something to you. Let's say I'm learning Spanish. Somebody says something to me in Spanish. So I take that Spanish word, kind of translate it in my head to English. And then I find the answer in Spanish, I translate it back in Spanish, and then I say it back in Spanish. And it goes that whole, this whole little, okay, stop. Okay, like, and then I have to go, you know, say it specifically word for word, like, this is I am in English and this is I am in Spanish. And it's a process, right? And it takes work, you know, and it's rough going. But the more you do it, eventually, once you are fluent in a language, you just sort of think in Spanish, you know? Like, you think in the new language. You can think in two different languages. And if you're trying to have that as a direct goal, that's not so great, because you're always going to notice every time it doesn't come out perfectly. You know, like, oh, why don't I have this by now? Why doesn't this come so easily? Why can't I just automatically dare? So don't worry about the automatic stuff. Just practice, like, as long as I keep going to the gym, I'm going to get stronger. I'm not going to go to the gym and then come home with, like, a ripped body the next day. But as long as I go, I'm getting stronger. So I'm just going to go and keep practicing. And my power of all of this is that I always can choose my response. I can't decide my alarm's never going to ring again. But I can always choose to keep going. And I can always choose to respond to it in a different way. So the more you guys keep going out and setting goals where you're doing things to let your alarm have the chance to ring without you fighting the alarm, the thought, the situation, the sensation, the more your confidence will grow. And as your confidence grows, that ring starts to become more irrelevant. So what does everybody think? Did I miss anything? Anything that you'd like more clarification on? Anything you'd like to share? Anything positive? Anything like, I don't know what I'm talking about? Any thoughts from anybody? Any feedback?
Well, it's all pretty good.
Yeah? Did I answer everybody's questions? Anybody want more clarification? I know, like, the thoughts were a big thing, the depersonalization.
I have a question.
It's all kind of like different colors of the same, different shades of the same color.
I have a question.
Sure.
When you know, when you're trying to do the dare response, and I know you addressed this earlier, but I just, so a lot of times, like, if I'm finding I can't settle down and I'm just really uncomfortable and trying to, you know, settle myself down, I'll tend to listen to the DARE app and some of Barry's things that he, you know, some of his sound works that he does, you know. And is that something you shouldn't be doing because you're trying to soothe and run, or is that something good you should be doing?
Depends why you're doing it, right? So it's like, okay, right. it's 8 o'clock. Time for me to put on the DARE app. I'm creating a wellness routine rather than always reacting to not liking how I'm feeling. So if you're, are you the one who posted, like, I'm constantly all day, like, with these sensations and I can't seem to settle myself down. Like, I'm always busy distracting myself. Was that you who posted that?
No, that wasn't me.
No, that was me.
Oh, okay.
That was me.
Oh, okay. But it's the same sort of thing. Like, okay, I'm trying to calm down. Well, your body's in an excited state. So if you're trying to calm down because you're fighting the idea of it being in an excited state, you're just fighting the excited state, which keeps you in an excited state. That makes sense? Like, listening to the app with the mindset of teaching yourself how to let go of fighting the idea you're in an excited state, start sending a message to your brain that I don't need to fight anything. And then again, that shaken out rug, the dust starts to settle down. But if you're working really hard to calm down, you're just keeping yourself working really hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
I know it's very backwards, and it's like, sometimes I know I sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but like, it really is like learning how to not fight the things we don't like. And I know I sound like a broken record probably at this point, but that's the message you want to start sending yourself. But I'm not feeling any better yet. Then that's when you want to start picking up on, oh yeah, that's right, I'm trying to feel better, which means I'm fighting discomfort. And of course, most people say, well, what the hell would I want to feel better? Why wouldn't I want to feel better? Yes, I get it. Of course, we all want to feel good. But sometimes we put such expectations on ourselves. Of the should, right? Like I mentioned on the last call, we should all over ourselves. I basically should have mastered this by now. I should pretty much feel good all the time for the most part. And when I don't, I need to do something about it to get rid of the thing I don't like. And if that's even a little bit, if that's kind of our go-to, then our alarm will keep telling us about all the times that we need to change things. And it's just alerting us. So that's what the nod is. Yes, that's right. There's that thing. I know Suzanne, she talks a lot about diffusing. And that's really, it's learning how to let go of like diffusing the fight, not diffusing a sensation, because that's where we got stuck to begin with, right? Oh, but how do I feel better? I'm diffusing and diffusing. Now you're trying to diffuse your heart rate. It's learning how to diffuse the fight of your heart rate. You're trying to diffuse this derealization feeling. It's diffusing the fight of it. And like some, and I tell people, if you find yourself doing a whole lot of work to accept and allow, you're probably not accepting and allowing, right? If, oh, I'm accepting and allowing 8 hours a day. Like that's really more of a passive thing. Again, not in a shrug, but if you kind of find yourself doing a lot of work, the really active part of all of dare is run towards. That's that paradox where you go towards the thing you think you're fighting again. So if you feel like you need to do something, go towards the thing you're actually trying to get rid of. Backwards, but that's kind of how it works.
Scary but true.
Yeah. Yeah. And it feels scary, and it's okay to feel scared. It's okay to feel sad. It's okay to cry. It's okay to, is it okay to feel this? Is it okay to do this? Is this a normal, anybody have this feeling? Anybody have this feeling? And you see that a lot on the DARE 101 Facebook page. Anybody ever have this sensation? I've never heard anybody say no about anything ever in 10 years. So it's basically like we're just in a very heightened state, so we notice everything. Kind of like after a scary movie, you notice every little sound your house was already making before, but we notice it and we react to it differently. So it's a nod and a shrug, and you let your body wind itself down. You don't force it to, you don't bring it down yourself. You don't have to fight it back down. You let go, and it comes down by itself, like the dust settling back down. Like the little pond outside. That was my other go-to. Did I do the pond on the last call?
Where, I don't think so.
You know,
I don't think so.
Okay, so, like, you know, we like a nice calm pond, right? Nice, cool, still water, see your reflection. But for whatever reason, somebody dropped a rock in your pond. Or it rained. There's some ripples in there. We don't like that, right? Oh, like that, that's different. Oh, that's a little too high. And that's not what we like it nice and calm and quiet. But now our pond is rippling. So we are active people. We are the doers. We're trying to do a lot of things. So we go in there. We have one little ripple in our pond where somebody dropped a rock, and we push down that ripple. I don't like that little ring of water. I'm going to push that down. And when you push down that ripple, what do you actually do?
It bounces up someplace else.
You make another one, right?
Yeah.
Say, I have to push down that circle. Oh, I pushed it. Oh, gosh, now there's two ripples. Oh, my gosh, now I have two problems. Now I have two problems with anxiety. I'm going to push those down now, too. I better do something about those. And we push and we push until we have, like, 24 hours a day. Like, oh, my gosh, I can barely keep these down. They're like, coming all over the place. And I need to just calm this water down. And I've got all these books on how to settle down your pond and how to settle down the water. And I'm just doing all this doing. And now Michelle from New York is telling me, just do nothing. How can I do nothing? Like, I'm barely keeping it under control as it is. What if I do nothing and they get worse? Just do nothing about the fact that you don't like them. They will still continue on for a while. Again, time. Give it some time. It doesn't mean instantly everything settles itself back down. But when you let go, the pond settles itself back down, right? The blades of a fan come to a stop by themselves after you turn it off the switch. The cut heals itself. Like, the dust settles down. We just keep turning the fan back on. So let go and nod and watch. You don't have to be an active member of every movie that pops up in your head. Like, you can just take a step back and sit and watch the movie. Don't have to like it, but scream all you want at the movie screen. You're not actually controlling the characters. You're just getting yourself worked up, right? You can say, yeah, ooh, I don't like this part. This part's scary. And just nod at the fact that I don't like this part. So that's the overall gist of all of this. And I'm hoping like that kind of makes more sense than maybe it did on Monday. Does it to people? People get it
yes.
a little bit more as the week's gone on?
So helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Well, guys, post away. Don't wait for me or don't wait for Suzanne. Post some pictures. Post what you're doing with your alarm ringing. Switch the what if to even if. That's a big way to push out. Not, oh, gosh, well, what if I have an adrenaline rush on the highway? Okay. Even if I have an adrenaline rush on the highway, I'm going for a freaking drive. So let's go. And then, like, you know, you finish your drive, take a picture of yourself after, you know, you're not driving, post it up. It's so nice to see. And you'll see all that stuff on Dare Advance. People that are out, like, basically making waves in this world now. And I love it because I know where every single one of those people started. And everybody's
now, where, how do you join? How do you join Dare Advance?
You can join us through the website, but I think you'll get a message in a day or two, maybe, and maybe even with like a deal. I'm not sure. I'm not in all that stuff, but like you might get like 2 free weeks or something like that. But like let the challenge week go through, and then you should be getting like notifications of like the of Dare Advance and maybe like a promotion or something like that. But you can always sign up through the website.
Okay, thanks.
Mm.
Sure.
Awesome.
Hey, Michelle,
oh, anybody else have anything?
Yeah, sure. So I wake up in the morning and I have like the chest tightness and I feel like I have to, you know, like gasp for air kind of thing. I don't need to, but I feel like that. And I normally do my workout routine in the morning. I love going to the gym, but it seems to be affecting me not wanting to go because I'm scared of that tightness in my chest. So how do I get myself to be like, so the F what? I want to go to the gym and exercise. It's only a sensation. Like just to get over that hump, that apprehension of going.
Right. Okay. So you can't make yourself want to go, but you can still choose to go.
Right.
Right. Like, I want to get up and just want to go to the gym. You're not going to convince yourself of that because you're certainly not going to convince me of that either. I'm not going to ever want to go to the gym, but it's like, oh, well, I'm going to the gym. You wake up in the morning, if you feel like you need to gasp for air, that's going to be your best workout of the day. So wake up tomorrow morning and say, all right, where's that feeling? Like, obviously, you're probably going to have it anyway since it's there every morning, but you're going to feel it in a different way. I feel like I need to gasp for air, even though I don't. So I'm going to sit for 2 minutes, and I'm going to sit here, and I'm just going to feel that feeling without fighting it, without having to do much about it. I'm going to let myself feel uncomfortable, and then I'm going to the gym at 9 a.m. or whatever. You don't have to want to, right? But, like, it's like learning how to just kind of, like, just show up, just do it, and then – You may love the gym, you may hate the gym, but I'm choosing to go to the gym.
Okay.
Is that something you think would work for you? You'd be able to start with?
Yeah, because I had issues prior to that also affected, and I was able to work through that and get back to the gym and get on a regular routine. But this, it seems like I get over one physical sensation, and then a different new one pops up.
Oh, always.
And so now
I call it like
I'm
the
learning.
Whack-a-mole game.
Yeah, it's like it almost is like it's hanging on for dear life, like, oh, you're making progress, but I'm going to throw you something else at you, another curveball at you to see how good you are getting at this.
Right, because what our alarm says is, that weird feeling in your ear. Oh, okay. Oh, well, she's doing all these things, so I guess that's not a problem anymore. So we'll start really paying attention to that weird feeling in your ear. What about that weird feeling in your stomach? Right? And then suddenly that becomes the priority. And it's like whack-a-mole. If we're trying to eliminate sensations, there will always be another sensation that pop up that maybe your alarm will mention to you. So it always gets. It's never the sensations that's the problem. It's like you'll always have something at some point in your life that you don't like how it feels, and your alarm might mention that to you. And you get to say, yep, you're right, don't like that one either. But I'm going to bring this one to the gym this time. Okay, so this time I'm taking chest tightness or throat tightness or whatever to the gym. And the next time maybe I'll take lightheadedness. But I'm still going to the gym. And, like, it's that same nod at it. Like, yes, that's right. Thanks for alerting me to this thing I don't like. There may always be things that pop up I don't like. I'm practicing not fighting. Mm-hmm. But tomorrow for you would be a good practice to wake up and just sit for 1 minute with this one thing that you really don't like. Because if you feel like you have to take a deep breath, just don't for a minute or 2 minutes, or pick a time, 10 seconds. And then you say, it kind of puts it back into perspective for you, where, like, we stop fighting how we're feeling. Eventually, over time, those sensations do start to wear away as a byproduct of this work. So, like, I know a lot of people, their direct goal is feeling better, but you do feel better, but as a result of this practice of allowing yourself to not feel good.
Can I ask this, Michelle?
Mm-hmm.
I'm at my worst when I'm really tired, so after work or whatever,
sure.
Okay? So, and I love going to the gym. I'm a gym junkie. Because I'm tired and I'm not feeling too good, should I still be going to the gym, or do you relax and feel go to the gym when you're good?
Well, you know, go to the gym when you want to go to the gym that day. Like, what's your best time of going to the gym? You know, when do you normally go to the gym? What's your normal routine?
Well, when I can after work, really, or on the weekends when I've had a bit of rest. But like my question was, even when I'm feeling really bad, when my anxiety tightens, when I'm feeling tired, I want to go to the gym, but I'm thinking, oh, what if I make it worse? Should you still go to
the
gym?
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Do it?
Then definitely go to the gym, because you are basically training your alarm, too. Oh, God, what if it's worse? Oh, okay. Well, what if I'm more uncomfortable? Okay, then we'll go to the gym and be more uncomfortable. But at least we'll have a hot body and be uncomfortable, you know? And then, like, we'll go home and relax later, but we're going to go to the gym for 40 minutes, and then we'll go home and rest. I choose what I do. I'm not going to choose how I feel, but I'm going to choose what I do.
Yeah. I've always known I've been doing it wrong, but I just needed someone to tell me, I think.
And you know, it's just so such subtle little changes that it's like, I know I tend to get, like I said on the last call, really good fighters, people that are basically really good at doing a lot of things. It's just like just moving just a couple of degrees over to the right. Like, you're really, really working really hard at fighting, but the focus is like one level below it. It's like, it's not fighting and getting rid of sensations. It's letting go of the fight. So, you know, it's just like a subtle shift, and once you sort of get it, it sort of picks up momentum by itself.
Mm.
All right, everybody. Well, again, if you ever need anything, any questions about DARE and all of that, you can always send me an email. Sign up for DARE Advanced if you'd like. I'll be running two of those calls. Don't ever call me for time management issues, because as you see, I'm the DARE therapist, not the time management therapist, because every one of my calls is over. but keep working, keep posting, please post all the successes. This is how I felt, but then I did this. And put up some sort of picture. I love the pictures. You don't have to put your face, but like a picture of the meal that you ate at the restaurant that you went to that you've been avoiding for 5 years. A picture of your feet on the beach where you haven't been in 2 weeks. Something that shows, like, my alarm told me this, but I chose to do this, and here I am doing it. That's really how confidence grows and progress is made. All right, everybody. Well, it was a pleasure working with all of you, and hope to see
you
on DARE Advanced. And if not, good luck. You're welcome to stay in touch, send me messages, and let me know how things are going.
Thank you.
All right,
thank
bye, everybody. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Michelle. Bye.
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 The moderator has left the conference.